Okay, so just in reference to things that might want to read. So I guess our agenda for tonight, we're getting a little bit of a late start tonight, so we'll see how much we accomplish. But we do want to look at that Shuva together, Sammy, maybe before we send it to you. So we'll address that. It's an important one. And then we'll talk outside for a few minutes again about various, I think we had left off in the middle of the question of various arguments for or against the New York State GATT law. And I think we summarized that there are a few who are very strongly against. There are a few who seem to be somewhat okay with it. And then there are those who don't think it's great, but think that it's not a catastrophe. And we'll explain those positions a little bit. Then, in terms of reading, so we'll see if we get up to it tonight, but I had wanted to segue into the question of whether or not it's legitimate or appropriate for the husband to say, well, I'm going to give a get, but I'll do so only under certain conditions, and whether or not that affects the equation as far as him being coercible. There is a very fascinating article which I expected to be interesting, but it was actually more interesting than I thought, by Shmuel Landesman, who is a very well-known dayan in Muncie, is very involved in issues like this in general. And he has an article here about the question of whether or not the husband can make conditions. And it has additional value to it, I saw, which is why we'll try to look at it inside together. Maybe if we end up running into next time, maybe I'll try to scan it and send it out. But he, in the course of his discussion, this is very interesting, he suggests a number of different explanations as to why Kvi exists at all by Gittin in order to analyze the question. He ends up rejecting most of them, but it's a very interesting journey. So we'll try to look at that together. All right, but first and foremost, so the Tshuva of Moshe. So Chelik Yemol Semen Memdal and Evan Ezer. He states as follows: Bo'uvda Shehabal Heishuv Shenosin Get Machmas HaSettlement VaHaSettlement Nase Barkos Eich Dino. Considering the question of a husband who responds that he's giving a get because of the settlement, and the settlement is one that was done in civil court, so what is the halacha regarding that? And this is a tshuva that was written to a Rav, who we refer to as a Gaon Meforsim, of Asher Abramson, who was a Bezdin of Sydney, Australia. So he says as follows: B'davar ha'bal shaya make b'achzarius kame pa'amen es ishto. A man who does terrible things, that with great cruelty, he hits his wife many times. Vasu settlement, Shuheskin Barakos, and they did make a settlement, which, in case you don't know where settlement is, it is an agreement in civil court. Vikasu Sham Gam Shetarach Lepotro, Uhatira La Alma, Gam Bedina Das Israel. And they wrote there that he has to also let her go and to release her to the world, also through the rules of Das Israel. Because Shabazdin Chashashu Shishdamit Militen Gepturin. And when the Bezdin were concerned that maybe he's going to try to get out of it, they called him to the Bezdin. That this get is a good thing, even for him, to let him out of Egon. Because he would be attached through the Chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom, he'd also be tied up. So it's good for him also to give a get. And that's also, God willing, on our agenda very soon to get up to that topic of the Cherem de Ben Gershom. V'gam shu l'tovas ha'yiladim, and it's also what's best for the kids. V'nisratz l'itin ha'get. So he agreed to give the get. To Baba Atmo hazman shekavu l'abez l'tov get. And he came on his own to the time that the Bezdin was kaveya that they should write the get. V'kasher shalu kvot rosyom of haschal l'sidu ha'get. And when the questioner here asked him at the beginning of the arranging of the get, do you want to give the get to your wife? Without any conditions and without any coercion and at your own free will. Vishalo kvotarasa rama zebaloshin anglis samadubur, and he answered him in English, that's what was spoken there. Shamalo betargum me ritzon chahatov imhu nosing free will. Right? So they asked him this ritzon chahatov and giving it with a free will. Beheshiv shahu nosing mitzad ha settlement below shimones, and he responded that he's giving it because the settlement without any coercion below Tanai. Avalzen nikra. Be I own free will. I guess that means that's not called by my own free will. It's not called not being coerced. I'm not not making any condition, but I can't say it's my own free will. And so the questioner you asked him. Are you telling me that you wouldn't have divorced her yourself without the settlement after you separated in court? He said, yeah, he would eventually divorce her. It could be that he would ask for certain arrangements as far as the education of the children. So then the questioner arranged the get with the bitul modos that he's supposed to announce that he cancels any type of disqualifying policies, and you had in mind that you're going to try to figure out exactly the kashrus of this. So hasafik shel kvetirasim said nechshav ones. Your safik was, is this called ones? Mishim dwal yiten get kifi hasettlement yachrichuhu harkos v'yarimizeh. That if he's not going to follow the rules of the settlement and give a get, so then the civil court's going to compel him, and he's afraid of that. Oh, michevin shel amar shemuchach liten haget b'shvil yiras harkos. Or maybe that he didn't say that he's forced to give the get because of the fear of the harkos. Ela mitzad ha-consent. Shapirshu Haskem, Nota Perish Dvarov Shaf Haskem Ba'alma, Shloha Yar Lavor, Nami having Makayim, Rakshain Ritzad Rotsan Ashma Mamish. So it's a little bit less than that. It's not that he's actually afraid of anybody, but he did it because of the agreement, means the Haskem. So it sounds like it means that he's not really afraid of what the consequence of bringing the Haskem. But that's not still something he wants to do, so Jack Corey free will. El Vipneshish Biu Olav, it's because they convinced him, she asked him who wrote to the Kaim Haskamasa. So because he agreed, so now he wants to fulfill his agreement. The Litain Haget, Shazan Nechshav Rotson, Lakashus Haget, that's considered to be Rotson as far as the get is concerned. The Malanum Rotson Yatsum Achmas Sinosola. What do we care whether it's his desire because he hates her or it's his desire because of the influence of others? I also have to add that it seems obvious that somebody gives a get because he doesn't want to go up back on his word. That's also fine. We discussed that if someone took a binding oath, then we try to have him release that. We try to make it that he shouldn't be giving it under the influence of the oath, because that is comparable to onus that one brought about himself, like we mentioned a day or two ago. So that, if it's really binding, then we're afraid that there's a pressure put upon him, even if he undertook that pressure willingly. But here, it's not that. It's just that he doesn't want his own sense of integrity. He doesn't want to go back on what he said. So that's not exactly the same thing. But the Eved, Osh v'nader she'en yecholen lehatiro, or if let's say it's a neder that you can't undo, like Mizir Shimshin. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that still with Mutter Lagarish, Rak Shetov Lagarish v'shnei Gittin. And it's just better to use two gittin, you know, one to deal with the original commitment, and then once you've fulfilled that, then to give another get that's free of all such considerations. Aval b'havtocha ba'alma, but if it's just a promise, shemeshai lachsim mitvaru, that theoretically he could escape from without any legal consequences, afim tavo shlo lach, so even if they were tovei him that he shouldn't go back on it, afim also they saw shachayish l'midatov, and even if he's doing it because he thinks that's honesty, integrity, not to go back, and the onus megash l'chechila. So then that is not considered to be onus, and l'chechila is fine. Consent, so that he said that he did it because of the agreement, that's not onus. Rak mashah consent nasibar kos, and also is onesh. Shimli garisha su maisar. Oh, you can assume a mammon rav who onesh yesh locha shemeshvil moiro mehamasar vaknas noisin again. Well, it would be different if he's afraid that because it's binding in civil court, then if he doesn't do it, they're going to put him in jail or they're going to impose a huge monetary fine. See the word mon rav, on this, you know, something that's really hard to deal with. So then that would be a problem. Hanochon l'finius daiti, says Rabbi Yishu. It seems to be right as far as I see it. Dechevin lechazinen shul hayayore lomar ha'emes shabalibo kidei l'ramos ha'bezdin v'yichtiv ha'get afshu onus misad yiraso mihar ka'oz. We see that he was not afraid to say the absolute truth in his heart. And he wasn't apparently afraid of the Arkos. To Hay Yari wrote Solaramos, Hayom Shivaso Shailam Raisli Tinget. If he was just afraid and he wanted to deceive, he would have said in his response on this question, if he wants to give a get, Shirotsa believe Shalim, Vulum Samada, Miodeya Hadin. That he wants to give it with a full heart, and he give this moda if he knows the din. And if he's wrong and he thinks that even with onus it's also effective, and that's why he didn't even know that he should say that the get is being given not in free will. Doesn't even have any need to be deceptive. Ledaito, because as far as he's concerned, it would be kosher. Nami hayolomer shneis neget pnei yiras anush der kos. He still should have said that he's giving the get because of the fear of the kos. Vimiyodeya shu onus in the gereshes, and if he knows that if it's a situation of onus, he's not divorced. Eina yodeya me eitz the mifsiras moda, and he's not aware of the policy of giving this disclaimer. V'lachin amela bezdin shmanis megarsha, and therefore he says to the bezdin, he's doing it of onus. Revada hayolomer sheish shmanis markos. Then he still said that he's afraid of the pressure of the courts. V'lami hizkirach machmasa settlement, which is the act my eina onus. Why is it all that he mentions is a settlement, which itself is not really pressure? Elamashma, what seems to be shekenu ames, that this is the truth. Shalom machmasa yirin. Now he's saying it's not giving it out of fear. Elamishun sheken hayhaske machmasa wrote to davka begerushin. He wrote so davka begerushin that this was the agreement because she wanted specifically a Jewish divorce. V'lachein afshuhu lo hayaroitz abesim legarsha. So therefore, even if he didn't really want in of itself to divorce her, nesratza machmasa yedei shilo taskim lo settlement acher. He does it because he knows she's not going to agree to any other settlement. She's not going to go back to him. That's considered to be Rotsan Gomer as far as Gerishin is concerned. This is what seems to be more likely the intent of his words. Even if we could maybe wonder, maybe there's some element of the fear of the courts. Even he didn't mention this, maybe he thought that they'd understand from the fact since he mentioned that, maybe they'll figure out this because of the courts. He came on time, even though he could have come up with some excuse. Adayin's man rav, there's still a lot of time which to do that. Until he could have stalled until they brought him to the civil courts to compel him. Now it seems to be that he understood that which the Bezdin explained to him, Shaget nochutz lo gam b'shvil atzmo, the get is also good for him too. Shalo yiyeh alav chermde ben agershem, v'yuchol isa isha acheres, he shouldn't be subject to the chermde ben agershem, he should be able to marry somebody else. Kevin sheishtu zu halcha meitov lo isa shavei lov, since this wife left him and is not coming back, even if he's not gonna divorce him. The kibel divrehem shetoyvlo, it must be he understood all that and that it's good for him, get, and therefore he was fully willing to give the get, shall suffer cut and kazah. Because on this small suffix, we can tilt the equation through this proof to say that he wasn't trying to tell you that there's any kind of an onus here. And also the fact that he said that he's doing it without any onus of t'nai. Cain, I consent to give a get to my wife. Right, so he said in the Farish, right, that I agree to give a gift to my wife. Okay, Vaitatut ani, I wonder if that is Vaitaut. I'm not sure that it is. Any compulsion, without any compulsion or conditions. Right, without any compulsion or conditions, shepirusho kefish shetargamulo, because the translation is like they explained to him. Shneisen I get mitzad heskim ha settlement below shem onus below shem tenai. Hare hisbir baatzmo she'ein lo shem onus ach gam lo miratzan hatov. So he already explained that there's no onus, but it's not totally free will. Shneisen I get shrusti because of cash to get. That's enough for cash to get. We don't have to worry that he's pulling some kind of game here. Shemashaka la bezin, he's lying to the bezin. Mitzat hayira da hayolomer, shenaisim mitzani hatoiv kitechzat to leel, b'chayafen yishla hasher get. For all these reasons, we should allow the get. Okay, so all of that is about this specific case. But now, here, this last paragraph here, this is the important part. The part that's much quoted. V'hine yesh oy tam godol lahatir ba'uvdezu afim haya ba'ones. There is a big reason to allow this case, even if it was ba'ones. Deha al masha shalo sa'ik v'yterasa rama. Because here, what the Dayan asked him, v'chilo ha'yisa megarsha ba'atzmecha b'loy ha'settlement achrei apir ba'okos, when he asked him, would you not divorce her yourself following the separation in the civil court? Hey, Shiv Shahayim Agarsha Gamba Atzmo. He said, yeah, you would divorce her eventually. But it could be that he would ask for some things connected to the education of the children. Hare Nimtza. Here, this is the key point. Shabbatzim Hagerishin Uroitza Mamish Baatzmo. We see that he wants the divorce. But he wanted something else concerning the children's education. So because of the settlement that didn't include that, so he's ready to give the get without asking for what he otherwise would have asked for. In such a way, even if the settlement, we could call it an ones, and we could even call it mamish kviya nimtza. Here, all the more so, getting to the important stuff. I keep saying that the nimtza she'ein hakviya al ratzon hagerishin. You see that the kviya is not on the divorce itself. Ela shagerishin lo yihiu lemashkein lahazik ezadav mimen. Just that the gerishin should not be used as a tool, as collateral, it's a way of saying leverage, to obtain something from her. There is a big reason to say that in such a circumstance, that's not called ones to disqualify a get. So the reason the get is considered to be something that's given and not something that is sold, from the fact that the husband becomes exempt from the financial marital obligations, because he would have given them willingly and wouldn't have divorced them. And for that reason, a get that is forced is possible, if it's forced inappropriately, and also if it's forced through the non-Jews, even if it would have been appropriate. And the only time that we treat it like a sale is if he is absolutely obligated to divorce it. So all of that makes sense in a case where he wants that she should be his wife. And therefore, all of the marital obligations he does because he wants her to be his wife. And he's also going to need to take another wife, and he'll still be obligated in all these things. So this also Shita Mekubetzes means the name of the Rashba. The Sherek Susi Ona Lo Chashvinu Lohu Beha Leklum V'Lachein Pasul Beget Meusva Shloi Kedem. We don't count this as anything, and therefore, if he gives a get pasul, a get Meusva, it's pasul. The Zehu Gufe Hatam Shlo Nechshol V'Adam Zaver Zel Revach. So why do we not say that he's profiting, like he's essentially getting paid by the fact that he's exempted by these things? Right, what's his point? Right, his point is that for the average happily married man, or at least you know he's happily married, even if she isn't. But we don't say that. Oh, aren't you happy? You'll get off the hook when you don't have to provide the food and the clothing. So he'll say, you know, like anybody who's looking for a shidduch, halavai, I could pay those things. You know, they don't consider that to be a downside. So that's not considered to be a benefit, because the assumption is the person who wants to be married understands that these obligations come with it, and he's very happy to have those obligations, and it wouldn't be a worthwhile trade-off to be exempted from them. Aval be'eino rights above isha. But if somebody doesn't really want his wife anymore, oh, shiodeya shlotia etzlo kisha, or he knows that whatever he wants, the fact is she's just not going to act wifely to him. Shevishvil zeh rotsa be'etzim lagarsha. So that's why he wants to divorce her, because he's not interested, or he knows that she's not interested, but whatever it is, he knows it's not in the cards. So, rak shemachma shehitzricha get rotsa lahastig mimene ezadavar. And it's only because she needs a get that he wants to try to obtain something from her. Who rak kibayis v'sode she'ena rotsa limkor besach she'naisen lo halokeach mishum she'asode odif lo mehamos she'nosin lo amok nesha rotsa litin lo yoser mishaveha. So that's like a person who has a house or a field and he doesn't want to sell it at the price that's being offered. Why? Because the field is worth more to him than the money that's being offered, or because he wants to get more than the value. Shekola inyan hurak inyan mamun, that the whole issue is a matter of negotiation, is a matter of what the price should be. Shalzeh ha'am revuna t'liu v'zavin zvini zvini. Right, and that's why we say that when somebody is forced to sell something, the sale is valid. Kevin shal kol panim misham lo hashivoi. Because if somebody is forced to sell something, so we say that at the end of the day that's valid, because Lamaisa, the guy who's buying it, is paying the value, so the assumption is that since he's getting the value from the purchaser, so even though he didn't choose to do this, but he's ultimately going to commit himself to the transaction. So too, then by a get, shanasa rakin yin mashka in lamamon. If the get has become only a collateral for the mammon, nami yesh loy marad avonsek amra machne. So you could also say that once there's a little pressure put on him, so he agrees to give it. Tamasha nifter mishek sus, v'gam oidvarim kahad cholzman sha'agad bazu lo yuchal isacheres, and other matters, because as long as he's tied in with this one, he can't marry somebody else. The vadi yesed the cherem we're going to get shmer gol even without the cherem. And all the many other reasons why it's not good for a person to have his wife tied to him when there's no actual benefit of the marriage. So in such a situation, then maybe there's room to say that we can allow even when there is illegitimate onus and onus from non-Jewish sources. Aval af, now here's again the key qualifier. We just heard now a very big fetish from him. So now he's going to say the qualifier, which is also an important part of the contemporary conversation. What's Ramesh's real feeling on this topic? Was he willing to rely on what he just read or not? He says, even though this is a good svar, you can't rely on this by itself. So by itself, he wouldn't rely on this. But if there's some other factor, and you want to include this as a point, that's a big svar. And the main point of why he's would allow it in this case, in the case he was talking about, is because we saw that really he does want to give it, even though he's right now doing it because of the settlement. So what's Ramesh's main point? Right, very, very significant question. And a very major part of the contemporary conversation. That a situation like the Gittin situations that we talk about today, this really frames everything in a different light and really radically shifts the paradigm of how to view these situations, if this is accepted. But Ramesh himself wasn't so sure whether or not to actually consider it the truth. But the idea in his mind of forcing somebody to divorce his wife and the illegitimacy involved, when it is illegitimate, is because the man wants to be married. He wants to stay with his wife, and for you to force a at least unilaterally happy man, you know, she may not be so happy, but he's happy, to divorce his wife, so then that's where we have issues. We have to figure out when that's legitimate and when it's not. It says, Ramesh, that's not what we're talking about in the case here, or really in any case that we read about in the papers. Right? We're not talking about such a situation. We're talking about a situation where the husband knows there's no more marriage. They've already separated. He doesn't want to be with her. She doesn't want to be with him, or both. It's just that there's this element of the get. So he figures, okay, I can use that as leverage for something. That is a whole different ballgame. And therefore, kfiya under those circumstances would not be an issue because the ratzon is there. Now, this is very interesting to contrast to two things, actually, both printed in this volume, one that we read last time and one that we're going to come up to, is that we discussed last time, you know, why it is that Rav Zalman Nechemiah was machmir, that if a person committed himself earlier to give a get through a contract, and now that's the only reason he's doing it, so why is that not good enough? So Rav Zalman Nechemiah had said that even though that's considered to be your own action, a situation like that, where you commit yourself to something and later on you have to do it, so that would be called ratzon, if you recall. But the get needs more than just that you're willing to do the action. It means that you're willing to have the effect of the action. You're willing to go through with the divorce, and that's essentially not the case in that description. That he maybe wants to continue with the marriage, but he feels compelled to issue the divorce based on his previous agreement, his previous binding agreement. So that's called ratzon, but not the ratzon that we need for get. The ratzon that we need for get is that you're actually looking to end the marriage. So here, Rav Moshe is saying the flip side, consistent with that, but he's saying the other half of that statement is that that's really all you need. That if he really does want to end the marriage, so then that's called baratzon, even if he's refusing to give the get. And then we can address that point to make him give the get, because we no longer have to worry about the ratzon, because essentially the ratzon is there. So if there's kfiya that makes him go through the last step, that would not be possible. Right? So if that's true, it's a huge kula for all the kfiya issues. Because most of the cases that we hear about, it's not going to be relevant. I shouldn't say all. You know, occasionally there is a situation where the husband really is arguing. He simply wants to stay in the relationship. He wants shalom bayis, and you have to see if that's going to be relevant here. But in the situations where even if he wants it, he understands that it's just not happening. So then, according to Reb Moshe's possible svara, so maybe that's not going to be a problem with kfiyah. Very, very major position. So I want to say, probably for the time we have left today, talk a little bit more about the get law. But this is also going to be relevant to the question, I guess at this point we'll talk about it tomorrow, you know, the question of whether you can put conditions on a get. Right? So we'll discuss the view that says that if a man is willing to give a get, but with conditions, so there is a discussion that maybe there are some poskim who say that then you can no longer be kofa him because he's ready to do it, just he wants these conditions, so therefore he's entitled to ask for those conditions, a very arguable point, which we'll have to discuss. But you see, in terms of being arguable, it sounds like Reb Moshe is saying the opposite. He's saying that that's what makes it actually better for kfiyah, because he's saying that essentially such a person is showing that he is willing to leave the marriage, just he wants these conditions. So if that's the case, so then you could break down into the get itself plus the leverage, so we can be kofa just for leverage. And the get is considered berutzon in such a case. It would be a really opposite way of looking at that question, which God willing we'll come back to. Morty, you had a question?
Yeah, why would Reb Moshe himself say that you shouldn't use this on its own?
Yeah, so you know, it is a huge chiddush, right? Because it would really seem to nullify almost all the problems that we have. You know, we'll see, not all, because you still need a way to get the get given. But if you believe, let's say, in Eretz Yisrael, where there are other options as far as exerting influence, you know, such as jail and the like, or in America, where we're trying to figure out, is the get law okay, the prenups, you know, the different agreements. So this would allow everything. It would basically say that when you're in such a scenario, we don't have to worry at all if it's the government, if it's an illegitimate kfiyah. All of that is going to be not a problem, because ultimately he's ready to get out of the marriage. So clearly that's a huge chiddush. It's, you know, redefines so many different things in this parsha. So it seems like Reb Moshe is not ready to go out on a limb by himself and say that I rediscovered America and I totally see this whole thing differently than anyone's ever seen it till now. Although it's not so pashut that he's so alone in this. We can discuss a little bit more. There might be a few others who say something similar. Maybe Chazon Ish, maybe a few others. But it's clearly a humongous chiddush, so he wasn't ready to say by himself that this is enough to address the whole issue. But, you know, when there are other elements, then this could be thrown in as a sniff. So we've seen already now a couple of different things that can be thrown in as a sniff when our question is kfiyah okay? So we see there are a couple of things that can be brought into the conversation, which each one by itself you don't necessarily rely on. But after the fact, say if there's going to be a shayla of mamzerus later on, so after the fact, there is a lot to build on. So that brings us back, so we'll discuss this for a few minutes, and again, tomorrow we'll pick up with the topic of conditions, very important topic. But what about the get law? So again, you know, there were those who were totally terrified of it, felt that it really creates terrible problems because it qualifies as an onus mamon, and the onus mamon will passel the get, and not only that, but maybe even call into question every get given in New York State because it's in the background. So there were poskim who were very concerned about that, and we said a few minutes at the beginning today that there are some who were not so worried, either because they think the whole thing's not a problem for whatever reason. Like Rabbi Schwartz, Shlita of Yad Beis Din, has written that he seems to not have a problem with it at all from the way he writes. He doesn't seem to really think it's an issue, because he feels ultimately the Beis Din is going to decide whether this get should be given or not. So he certainly doesn't seem to think that the get law passels all the gittin. The Beis Din will still be the ones to make the decision how to proceed. And as others point out as well, that it doesn't constitute a direct linkage between the get in any type of pressure in an explicit way. And there are others I mentioned the other day that Rav Shechter told me that he feels, at least the b'di'evet, that the opinion that onus mamon is not considered to be onus can also be relied on. And by Michael Broyd, wrote an article in Tradition where he had an exchange with Rabbi Chaim Malinowitz, who was very much of a different opinion. And Rabbi Malinowitz was among those who felt that the get will be absolutely called into question by the later get law. So Rabbi Broyd's position was that ultimately it's not a great idea, that since there's such a debate about it and it wasn't done through the poskim, Rabbi Reis mentioned to me today that the problem with the second get law, practically speaking, is that Rav Moshe passed away before it was implemented. Right? He passed away, it was 1984, right? So he didn't have a chance to paskin on this 1992 law. So that would have probably made all the difference. If he had been able to actually weigh in on what he thinks or doesn't think, that probably would have settled it in one direction or the other. But Lamaisa, since Rav Moshe wasn't able to be involved in that one, so that left it in great controversy. But in any event, so it is controversial, and it's bringing the secular courts into a religious matter in a case where it's not agreed upon by all poskim that this is a way to go. So for a lot of reasons, the law is perhaps ill-advised, if that's the perspective one takes. I think I mentioned the day Rabbi Bleich's feeling that, you know, he thinks it's terrible, but he also thinks that the silver lining in its terribleness is that it will have to be repealed because it's an inherent contradiction if it says you have to give a valid Jewish divorce, and by its very existence it makes it impossible to give a valid Jewish divorce. So then that's enough of a inherent unworkability that it should fall apart. But Lamaisa, it's been 20 years, 23 years, and that hasn't happened. So it doesn't seem like that's so much on the horizon. So Rabbi Lloyd's article, he talks about a number of reasons, seven or eight reasons, why he thinks, at least b'di'evet, that even if we wouldn't have advocated for this law, but it doesn't have to mean that the get itself is called into question. So the first thing he says, the first svara is this Rav Moshe that we just read, right? That ultimately in this case, so they know they're getting divorced, they know there's not going to be any marriage, so the husband therefore is considered to be willing on the etzem ha-gerushin, and that's snif l'hakel. Again, he mentions, even though Rav Moshe wasn't himself willing to rely on the svara, although, as we just saw, Rav Moshe was willing to allow it to be a svara to be counted. And so therefore, since he has six or seven other points, he feels that that's worth mentioning. There's a Chazanish also, which says something similar to Rav Moshe here. If you want to look it up, it's in Evan Ezer, Sadi Tess Beis. I don't know, Morty, if that's something you can send around.
Sure.
Okay. But the other svar is the Shuvas Beis Avi. The Beis Avi was Rav Yitzchok Libus, who was the Av Beis Din, I believe, the Igud HaRabbanim. He was one of the Rabbanim who was involved when Rabbi Willard first proposed the prenup 20 years ago, 23 years ago, around the same time. It was the same year as the Gat Law, 92. So Rabbi Libus was involved in endorsing it. And he also suggested that you could say perhaps that this shouldn't be considered to be some illegitimate onus, because maybe we can accept dina d'malchus adina here, that if the government says that the rechush belongs to this one or that one, so then maybe that's inherently true. It's not some random person coming and taking his property away. It's the government deciding what the distribution should be. And the premise apparently is that it's not pshat that during the marriage it belongs to the husband, and then the court's going to say, okay, now in the divorce I'm going to take it away from the husband and give it to the wife. During the marriage it belongs to both of them. And then it doesn't have a specific ownership identity until the judge decides, okay, it goes here, it goes there. So if you say, dina d'malchus adina, and you sign on to that whole story, then that maybe means that it's legitimate. It's not considered to be onus because it's not taking away money that actually belongs to him. Another Svari mentions is also those poskim, the Marik and the Ramah, who write that at least b'di'eved, a knas katan is acceptable. You have to figure out if that's what we're talking about. You know, if he's going to be mamish wiped out, then maybe it's not going to be in that category, but assuming that it's some degree, even of a knas, even if you want to see it like that, but it's a tolerable knas. So then there are those who allow that. And then there are those, a fourth point, who allow get through onus, if me'ikar hadin, there is a chi of kviya. That if it's a situation where kviya is justified, so then even if it's through onus, some poskim will say that's okay. Right, then the fifth svar he has, what he mentioned before from Rav Shechter, that there are those who allow a onus mamon, at least after the fact, maybe even before. The sixth point he mentions is the point of Mois Alai. So we mentioned that Mois Alai is a justification for Kriya according to the Rambam. We spent some significant time on that. And many contemporary poskim hold that even though we don't paskin like the Rambam outright, but it's still available as a sniff, as a tziruf, so when there are other things there, that's also generally applicable, and it's almost always going to be the case if we assume Mois Alai in a general sense, so then that's going to be effective. Another svar he has there, which is somewhat arguable, is that the idea that onus nafshe, which he mentioned, was also subject to a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch, that if somebody pre-commits himself to something, maybe that's acceptable as a type of onus or not a type of onus. So maybe one could argue that, let's say, somebody who gets married in New York State after 1992, when they know the law exists, assuming they do know the law exists, which is also questionable, but if they know the law exists and they get married even so, then maybe that's considered to be accepting upon yourself the consequences of the law. And also an eighth svar that Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan was makel if the kfiya that came from the courts is not directly in the same context as the giving of the get. So if there is some pressure on him today and he gives the get tomorrow, so then that's not necessarily called kfiya. So when you put a gun to your head and say, give the get now or I'll shoot you, give the get now or I'll take away all your money, then that's kfiya. But if there's a general kfiya which is not overtly associated with the giving of the get, so Rabbi Kochanan, our namesake, was inclined to be making that also. So essentially, let's say you could say as many as eight different points to put together to be makel after the fact if the get was given under the influence of this law, even if one feels that l'chachil, it's not a good move.
But you know, even if he doesn't actually know about the get law, but he should still be mekabel because it's something which isn't him. So it doesn't matter if he's aware of it.
Right, that's an interesting question in general. You know, we'll just close on this point. But the whole question of how one agrees, and I talk about this sometimes in my business class, you know, the idea of how law works. So there was a debate about the death penalty. There was an Italian philosopher, his name was Cesare Beccaria, who argued against in the 1700s, I believe, he was influential on the founding fathers of America. And he said that you can't have a death penalty, it's immoral, because the way government works is that the people get together and they aggregate their rights and they turn their rights over to a central governing authority. That's where the legitimacy of government comes from, because it's essentially an agreement from all the people to let the government carry out its duties and to punish and to confiscate and do whatever they need to do. So said Beccaria, so you see, nobody would ever agree to let someone else kill them, so therefore there is no legitimacy for the death penalty. Another philosopher said, no, it doesn't work that way. It's not like you fill out a form, yes, I hereby allow the government to imprison me, to tow my car, to give me a ticket, to give me a fine. Death penalty, no, I'm not signing that one. It doesn't work that way. What it means is that you submit to the authority of the government. And then the government can make their decisions what to do, and it's not a specific checklist of what you're agreeing to or not agreeing to. So to here, one could say that it shouldn't depend on that he knows necessarily this law exists, but he is agreeing to the rules of New York State and even the rules he doesn't know about, and therefore maybe it should be in that category. And I think there's an argument to be made for that as well. Again, at least the vitzir of everything else. Okay, so God willing, I'd like to pick up tomorrow is this question, which you see how it flows out of what Sue's speaking about. This question of whether the husband can impose conditions on the giving of the get. Morty, if you like, I'll try Leonard to scan this article and send it to you before, so you can have it email it out or however it would be most effectively distributed. All right, I wish everyone.